Hello, this is Larry Gunns, and welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students. Welcome, everyone. How's everybody doing?
Outstanding.
Larry, how you doing?
Good, good, good. Thank you guys for being on today. We got quite a few people on here, so I want to go ahead and jump right in and see if anybody would like to step up and be the first to ask a question tonight.
Hey, Larry, this is Ray Baker.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, not a whole lot. Hey, I sent you a couple of questions, but I can just go ahead and ask them
over the phone. I did get those just a few minutes ago. You sent them about 10 minutes ago. So I did get those, but why don't you go ahead and ask them for everyone, and that way we can just kind of, you know, everybody can hear it.
Okay. One of the ones I was talking about was the limited power of attorney. Letting your realtor sign your HUD documents for you. The first thing I was wondering, I was looking in Texas, and Texas just has a kind of standard limited power of attorney form.
Right.
Is that the form we're supposed to be using?
Well, you'll just have your local attorney, whoever you're going to use as an attorney or title company, you'll tell them what you want to do, and they'll prepare the document for you based on what they use in Texas.
Oh, okay.
You just let them do it. You don't need to be drafting a legal document. Just let them do it.
Oh, all right. Well, that makes it easier then.
Yeah, it's much easier. Much easier.
Jira.
And you only need to do it one time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that'll work.
And then I've been trying to work on this this HUD Automator program, and every time I'm importing files or Excel spreadsheets from the HUD, I keep getting errors on it.
Now, what do you mean by HUD Automator? I don't know what that is. An Automator program. I don't know what that is.
It's the Excel program.
Oh,
that
okay.
You guys
it's an
were...
Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. That's the one from you.
Yeah. So what you do is you have your HUD spreadsheet. And then you export your search after you do a search and you want to export it, and then you merge the two. Now, I'm no Excel expert, but Paul has created a video that shows you how to do that. Do you have that video?
I can't recall if I've come across it. I think I've seen one.
Do you have the HUD Mastery program, right?
Yes, parts of it.
It's in there. It's on your flash drive.
Okay.
It's on the flash drive. It'll show you how to do it.
All right.
There you go.
And then third question was, you had, or I stumbled across somewhere, maybe it was on the Filthy Riches, you had a program that would show us the 12% when you go to sell a note.
Right.
I can't recall the web page that program was on.
Well, you can go to filthyriches.com/analyzer and use that analyzer to run your yields for you. Or if you'd like, you can also simply Google HP12C calculator. And there's a link that will come up where you can use an HP12C online, and it's free.
Okay.
Yeah, either one of those will work. You can go to filthyriches.com/analyzer, or just Google, I really like an HP12C, or if you have a smartphone, you can get a financial calculator app. There's some out there that are free, but I like the HP12C myself. That's my favorite.
Okay.
So, but it's about, I think it's about $12 or $15, something like that. But I really like a HP12C.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Excellent. Anytime. My pleasure. I hope that helped. Good. All right, cool. Who would like to ask a question next? Not everybody at once now. If you got any kind of question about anything, if you're just joining us, if it's your first time, we do these every other week, the second and fourth Monday of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern, and it's for Inner Circle students only, to ask me anything you want, whether it be about a deal you're working on, a strategy you're thinking about doing, a model that you're working, or if you have any questions about the market, the economy, what's happening in different areas of the country, or if you just want to ask me a question about some of my deals, I'll be happy to share you anything about what we're doing and how we're doing it. So anybody have a question?
Larry, I have a question.
Good.
Looking at mobile homes on a piece of land, a lot of them have septics, and I'm just kind of wondering, seeing how we don't know when we look at the HUDs, we don't know if it's working or not, how you plug that into your thinking about value and what how to look at that.
Well, I can tell you this. There are a lot of mobile homes out there that are in semi-rural and rural areas. And a septic system is not something that's really been a problem with us. It's very rare that we run across a situation where there's a septic problem. And if there is, it's just a matter of typically having it pumped out for the most part. So quite frankly, we don't really worry about it. Now, if it is a concern of yours, if you want to make sure that the septic is working, what I would do is get a 5-gallon bucket, fill it up with water, take it out to the house, and pour it in the toilet. When you pour water into a toilet pretty fast, not just like a stream like pouring out of the gasoline container, but if you have the lid off and you pour out 2 or 3 gallons at once, it's going to cause that toilet to flush. And once it flushes, if everything goes down and everything, then you should be good as far as, you know, it not being backed up or anything. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the way you can also flush a toilet. Like if the water's off and somebody's gone in there and used the bathroom and it's stinking up the whole house, you just take a half a bucket of water in there and pour it down in there and it'll flush it automatically.
Okay.
Yeah, not a lot
of people. The second question also has to do with mobiles, and that is it seems like in a lot of areas – A decent-sized mobile on a piece of land is, you know, 70, 80,000. But it seems like in a lot of places, even though it's, you would think it'd be higher value, they're only at 30 and 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering how to be a little more sure of what the value are, because you can look up the comps in Zillow and see both sometimes.
Okay, that's absolutely true. So here's the thing. Here's probably what you're going to notice. The ones that are selling for $70,000, $80,000, they probably have furniture in them. There are people that are living there. They
No, not furniture. No.
Do what?
No, that's not the case. It's just these are HUDs.
Okay, they're HUDs. Okay. So some are priced close to retail. Some are priced probably in more populated areas. And the values start out a lot higher, and then some might be in suburbs. They might be in bedroom communities of other cities. They might even be headed out toward the rural areas.
Yeah.
And the way we look at the value in determining if we're able to sell or finance it is, number one, what are the rent comps? Okay? What are the rent comps? If the rent comps are $600 to $800 a month, I'm going to take that $600 number and I'm going to figure a payment based on 9% for 20 years, and it's going to be right around probably $65,000, something
right,
like that. So then I'm going to ask a local realtor or two or three. I'm going to ask them, okay, if I have this house, could I sell this house for $69,900? And get, you know, 5 down or 10 down, or better yet, just ask the realtor, if I sold this house with owner financing, how much do you think the typical person that would live in this house in this neighborhood would be able to put down? And if your numbers work, at like say they say, well, you probably ought to be able to get at least 5,000 down. So So then you take your 65 plus the 5, there's your purchase price or your
right.
sales price, $69.9. And you want to buy it for at least half minus 10 for that. In other words, you want to pay probably no more than 30 for it.
Right.
I'll give you an example. We got one under contract today. Alyssa in our office got it under contract. It's a double wide. It's a couple thousand square feet, and it was listed for 26. We ended up paying 30 for it, okay? 4,000 more than list is what she got it under contract. But there were in a multiple bid situation, nice area, and other houses around it are selling for 90 to 110,000. Now, it needs a little bit of work, okay? But we got to go in and do some work to it. But if she could sell it for $100,000 and get five down, we get a $95,000 note, we could sell that note for $75,000 or $80,000, and we're going to have, you know, if we put 15 in it or something, we're going to have $45,000 in it total. So minus the five down, we'll have $40,000 in it. So we might could make $30,000 or $40,000 on the deal.
Right.
As long as the rent comps, you know, are okay to where somebody can handle that, you know, $900 to $1,000 a month payment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key right there.
Yeah.
And she was going out to look at it this afternoon because it was really only about 20 minutes from the office.
Okay. A question along that same line. I think you mentioned before that you have a site that you can go to that you have to pay for, where you can get better comps than what you can get, you know, off of the ones you're giving us, like the Zillow.
Yeah, it's called RealQuest, RealQuest.com. And they do charge like a monthly fee or a monthly minimum. But you can pull a lot more detailed comps. But until you close a few deals, if you haven't closed some deals yet, until you close a few deals, you can use Zillow.com and just look at the sold comp, but also talk to the local realtors and ask them what they think the property would be valued at. And that will be good enough until you get in a position where you can, you know, pay for a monthly service if that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay.
Did that help?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Cool. So who else has a question?
Larry?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Fred in Laredo.
What's happening?
Well, I came across a scenario up in north central Texas where a lady has got five houses in a small town of 3,000 people where the rents are running $600 to $650 in that area. Five houses, but she owns three and clear. And, of course, they're asking exorbitant prices, but the thing is, they all need work.
They're asking
three,
what?
I've got a list here, but the total cumulative asking price for all my properties is around $400,000. I don't have the details here with me, but they are asking for the moon because all these houses need work. I mean, some serious
work. So they're asking
work.
$80,000 a piece?
Well, something like that. I mean, one of them, they're asking $250,000. And I'm thinking, where did they get that price from? Now, these are shanties. I mean, they're bigger houses, but they're old. They're probably 80, 90 years old, something like that.
Uh-huh.
My question is, the fact that they're on free and clear, I mean, but the problem is, it's a long ways away from me. It's 7 hours away. Should I mess with this or not?
Well, the first thing you need to know is, number one, what are the amount of repairs? Number two,
yeah.
Once you put those repairs in them, what will they be worth? If there's enough spread there where you could wholesale the deal, then that would be great. However, the problem is going to be if there's only 3,000 population there, there's not a lot of people to wholesale to.
That's correct.
The other thing is, if you're going to sell or finance it, you know, if you're paying an average of $80,000 a piece, there's not a whole lot of room. So in my opinion, there's not a whole lot there unless you can, number one, negotiate a deep discount on the price, or number two, they will give you owner financing at a very, very low interest rate and probably not much money down, and you could rent them out with a positive cash flow and then sell them to somebody that will assume that loan and give you a large down payment down.
Now, she will do owner finance, she said.
She will?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of terms?
They did not talk about that because I wanted to run this by, you know, you guys and see what my options were.
Sure.
You know, and so we didn't really talk about that, but, you know, they're managed by her son. He is extremely eager to get rid of these because he said they're a lodestone around his neck and they take a lot of his time. And so they're asking prices, I think they just picked from the air.
What you might have to do is you may have to go in and educate them on why they're asking way too much.
Uh-huh.
And then once you, here's the deal. It's kind of like buying a car. You go into a car dealership, the first thing they say is, what do you have to trade? You don't ever tell them you got a trade, okay? You
right.
always tell them, I'm just buying straight out, cash sell.
Mm-hmm.
And you negotiate your absolute best price on the car. And then you go back and you start talking about a possible trade. Well, you know, I told you I don't have a trade, but I got to get rid of my existing car. What would you give me for it? You know, and well, you know, what if I just finance this? What kind of financing program do you have? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of back into it. But the first thing you want to do is negotiate your best cash price and then start talking to them about owner financing.
Right.
In other
because
words, if you got them down to $250,000 and then, you know, well, you know, you mentioned something about owner financing. What if I just make payments to you? You know, interest rates are around 4% now. Is that something you would be okay with? Because I got to go to the bank and borrow the money anyway, and they're going to charge me probably around 4%. You know, if I didn't have to deal with the bank, I'd be happy giving you an extra percent, 5%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't even talk about a down payment. Don't even mention it. Until they mention it.
Yeah, I think she is wanting a little because before I knew that she owned them free and clear, I was talking about a lease option. And she says, oh, good, then I can get some money down. And I said, well, how much is all of the mortgage? Oh, I own them all. Oh, well, then you're not a candidate then for a lease option.
There you go.
You know, and so we're left with cash scenario. Then I said, what would you consider owner finance on terms? She goes, yes. And then we left it at that. It was so cold, we all wanted to get into warm, and, you know, I had to leave. So that was it.
Yeah. Well, try to negotiate your best cash price first, then go in and talk about the financing.
Okay.
And you might have to pull some comps, some sold comps, and send them to them to show them why their properties are not worth $80,000 apiece, if you're telling me that they're way overpriced.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The one they're asking, $250.
Yeah.
From one of them. That's also, oh, my God, it's probably worth $50 or $60, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have to educate them a little bit. And you're going to have to give them some third-party information to educate them.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll try that.
Awesome. Good luck with it. Let me know how it goes.
I shall.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Who else has a question? Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry.
I have another question.
Sure.
When you are selling a house online that you bought from HUD,
right.
You don't have access for the 30 days for the close.
Right.
Do you mention that to them when you start selling it?
Do I mention
the 30 days that, you know, you can only give them access 30 days from then?
Yeah, mention it to who? A potential buyer?
To a potential buyer, yeah.
No. We'll have a local realtor show it to them. If it's out of our range, in other words, if it's too far away from us, then we'll just pay a realtor $50 or something to go show the house for us.
Is that going well? I mean, you get realtors to do that?
Yeah, in fact, one of the things we're starting to do is market to realtors to sell them, you know, get paid for your dead leads, your dead buyer leads. You know, if you've got a buyer that has a few thousand, you know, 3,000 or more or 5,000 or more to put down, and you know they can't qualify for a loan, sell them one of our houses and get paid.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
And do the HUD houses, do they have the keys? Is there a key to get in like there used to be in the old days, or do they
have a lockbox on them with a key?
With a key, so you can't get in unless you have the realtor with you.
Well, they have a lockbox that the realtor can get in, and a lot of the HUD houses have the exact same key.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now I know guys that are out there that they go out there, they get access to it, they pull a key out, they make a copy of it, they hide the key somewhere, and they tell people where the key is, okay?
Yeah.
And there's people that do that, been doing it, still do it. That's their whole business model. I'm not even going to tell you we've never done it because we have done
right.
it, okay? But the key is whatever you need to do, just make sure you don't get that listing agent or the HUD asset manager mad at you, okay?
Yeah.
That's the key. You don't want to upset them. You don't want to get them all worked up and tore up. If you need to have an agent go out with them, have an agent go out with them. If you're close enough, you can run by there. That's fine, too. But really, at the HUD houses, it's supposed to be a company. Anybody there is supposed to be accompanied by a HUD agent.
Right.
That's the way it's supposed to be. We have gotten in trouble a couple times with this. You know, some people take the attitude, I would rather ask for forgiveness than permission.
Hello?
Right.
Yes, sir.
So, that's something you could do.
Yeah, you were I'm online with Larry then.
Hey, guys, if you can, if you're not talking or asking a question, press *6, and that will mute your own line. I hear people in the background talking to somebody. So just hit *6, and it will mute your own line if you're not asking a question. And you can hit *6 again to unmute your line and ask a question. So cool. Anyway, did that help you?
Yes.
Great. So anybody else have a question tonight?
All right. Let me call this back. Hello.
Hi,
Larry.
Question? Yes.
Yeah, this is TJ. Thakur Jairam. Okay, my question to you here is we're still pretty new, and the area that we're working in Georgia there, it's more of the people that we're talking to there. We're doing the filthy rich owner financing or seller financing.
Right.
And there's a pretty strong rental neighborhood area where you can pick up a rent anywhere between $450, $650, Section 8.
Right.
So give me a little show on how we can turn that into seller financing, owner financing.
So, I'm not sure.
My question is, it's a strong rental neighborhood or area.
Strong rental neighborhood, 450 and up.
450 and up, all Section 8.
Okay, so at a 450 payment and up, you can
probably
get like a $40,000 mortgage, and a $40,000 mortgage, 9%, 10 years probably. And so you want to be able to pick up that house for probably no more than $15,000.
Well, yes, they do have houses at that price.
Say that again?
We could get houses at that price, but they do come with some work.
Okay.
Maybe additional $3,000 to $5,000 work.
Realize you're not going to get them all. You don't want them all. You want to look for the ones that don't need much work. Some work is okay, but they don't need much work. Okay, you want the ones that are close to livable or livable. But remember, if you're picking it up for 15 and you could turn around and sell it for 45 and get $3,000 to $5,000 down, you got your payment around $450 a month, you know, that's a slam dunk right there.
For a home run.
Because you're selling it for three times, right?
Yes.
You're selling now, it for three times what you paid for it. That's a slam dunk right there. I got a guy that just did one, paid $13 for it, sold it for $29.9 and got $1,500 down. And they're making 32% return on their money.
There is one right now we're getting for $3,000, but it has the guy, the seller, he's an investor himself, and he says it has like about $5,100 worth of work. I don't know how true is that.
Okay. Now, it needs $5,000 in work, right?
Yeah, that's what he says. Some electrical update, some bathroom, kitchen update, you know. He's an investor himself, so, but he's like probably just want to get rid of it or something like that.
Okay.
So,
what was it meant for after you put the five in it?
Well, he said it was selling anyway like about $32,000-$33,000. That would be the market value.
Okay. So what would it rent for after you put the five in work in it?
Actually, he did give me I'm not looking at anything right now, but it's going to be anyway. I think it's anyway like about $450 would rent for.
Okay, listen to this. Don't ask him. Don't ask the seller. Okay? Go out and ask a realtor or a property manager, a third party, somebody who doesn't have a vested interest in selling you the house. Okay?
Right.
Ask a third party. So think about this. If you pay $3 for it, you put $5 in it, you got $8 in it. Let's just say you have $10 in it. If the retail market is 32, I think that's what you just said, right?
Yes.
Then you could probably sell it for 35 or 39.9. If the retail market is 32, you could probably get 39.9 because you can always sell a house with owner financing for more than you can sell it if somebody's got to go get their own loan. Okay? So
yes.
Let's just say you could sell it for 35. You get $2,000 down. You get a $33,000 note. Payment on that note is going to be about $450 a month, something like that, somewhere around $425, $430, somewhere around there probably. I'm doing it from guessing. But then you're going to have that note that you've only got $10,000 in. You're going to be getting about a 35, 38% yield on your money.
That's good. Another thing that we at this point in time we cannot hold them too long, so we want to sell the note as early as possible.
You send that note to me, I'll sell it for you.
Okay.
I'll sell it. I got more note buyers than I have notes.
Oh God, that's nice to know.
You send me a note, I will sell it for you. Now, I'm going to split the profit with you, okay? Like, I
okay.
can probably pay you at, like, depending on the deal, the cheaper the deal, the higher the yield I have to get it to the people. So I'm going to have to buy it from you at a 15 or 20% yield, and then I'll sell it at a 12 to 15% yield, something like that, just depending on the deal. But you get that deal put together, any of you guys on the call, you get any of these deals put together, you send it to me. I'll sell you that note.
Okay.
What I do with students like that, if you send me a note, I'll just do it in my IRA and we'll split it. So that way I'm just putting a little bit extra money in my IRA.
Okay. That's
or my good. HSA or ESA or something like that.
That's good to know. I have a buyer for this note already.
There you go. You got a built-in buyer. I'll sell that
yes.
for you.
Yes, that's good. That got me on track now. I'm right on track to get this deal now.
There you go. Let's get her done.
Yes.
That's great. Did that answer your question?
Yes, Larry. Thank you so much.
You're very
Thank
welcome.
You very
it's
much.
My pleasure. Anybody else have a question?
Keisha, hear it?
Hey.
Keisha?
Anybody else have a question?
You were hearing?
Servicing your
I can put you online because I asked him a question.
Right?
All right, so listen in.
Hey, I think you are you talking to somebody else? The guy that was just asking me the question about buying the notes and stuff. Are you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was my son.
That's okay. You're just louder than everyone else, and no one else can hear me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You can hit *6 and mute your line as well as anybody else can as well if you want to mute your line. Okay, I'm sorry, sir. The guy who was just asking.
Yeah, the question was, who are we using now to service the note so that we can get it all set up and when we sell the note, somebody has the payments all online and so forth.
Well, you can
FCI
use
or?
Anyone you want to. But there are several servicers out there. I primarily use National Asset Mortgage, NAMortgage.com, I believe it is.
Uh-huh.
And but National Asset Mortgage, I use them. I also use them as my RMLO primarily. There's also Texas Pride Lending for an RMLO, as well as some other ones. Do you have the Filthy Riches course?
Yes.
If you look on your bonus and updates page, I've got an RMLO and a servicer directory posted there.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Yep.
Great. Great. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, what about proof of funds letters? When do you need them and for what types of properties?
Well, you really only need them unless if your realtor is asking for it when you're buying properties through agents. If your realtor is asking for them, that's when you'll need it. And so then what you do is you look up transaction funding, proof of funds letter, and you can Google it. There's a lot of them out there that will give you a proof of funds letter for transaction funding, and that's all you really need to satisfy your realtor to be able to make all cash offers.
Do those work okay on HUD properties as well if they're asking?
It doesn't really matter. HUD is not the one that looks at it. Your realtor is the only one that looks at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks.
Excellent. No problem at all. Glad I could help. Who else got a question?
Yeah, they have a question for you, Larry.
Anybody else have a question?
Okay. Well,
you guys have had some good ones tonight. You guys are on the ball. It's good. Got a lot of stuff going.
Rental market versus a seller.
Anybody else have a question?
So, they've already told him, and when he has the expectation, if you're going to sell it to a company, you're like, you heard that, right? Yeah, so
just remember, guys, even if you can't think of a question tonight, or if you think of one right after we hang up, feel free to email me or call me. I'll be more than happy to talk to you anytime at the office, answer your questions in person, in between times, or by email, whatever. You can always email me, Larry@LarryGoins.com, put inner circle in the subject line, or you can also call my office, 803-831-0056. You want to press 0 and say, I am an Inner Circle student. Is Larry available? And they will put me on the phone. I only talk to people when they say they are an Inner Circle student. So nobody else has any more questions. I really appreciate you guys being on here tonight. Thank you so much. And I really sincerely appreciate your business. We're getting a lot of testimonials coming in, so I know there's a lot of you guys out there doing deals and making money and closing transactions. So I'm really excited about that. Love to hear those success stories. And if you guys need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. And, hey, I hope everybody has a great night. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, everybody.
Larry.
Great night. Bye-bye.
Good night.